COC, how are you today? You doing all right? Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. If this is your first time with us, we are so grateful that you've chosen to worship here at COC. We're thankful that we're your church of choice this week, and I hope that you are enlightened and hopefully God speaks to you in amazing ways throughout this series. We're starting a new series today called Offensive Parenting. So I thought it would be fitting today to help everybody out there, especially the young parents, and even maybe parents that don't have children. This will really come in handy for you. Those of you that have raised kids already, you will have come to me afterwards and say, gosh, Pastor Josh, I wish you would have shared those with me earlier on in life. But I wanted to help you out today with a few things that would help you with the right way to parent, some do's and don'ts. So let me just show you a few, all right? Here are some do's and don'ts to parenting. Here's one, all right? Lifting baby, the left is the do, and the right is the don't, all right? So just common sense things, and I'm just helping you out. I want to be that for you and there for you. Here's another one. Check this one out. Drying baby. Dads, really pay attention to this. You want to wrap and dab, not throw in, okay? Here's another one. When you're exercising your baby, this is probably the best way to go about doing that. Here's another one for you. Yeah, introducing baby to pets. Be very cautious with this one, all right? It's fitting for today, learning to swim. Yeah, here's another one for you. Shopping with baby. Moms, you got to pay attention. I've seen this way too often at Walmart. You think you've lost your baby and you've just buried your baby. That's all you've done, okay? Here's another one. Waking your baby. Try to be sensitive when you go about this. Here's another one. Washing your baby. Dads, again, you know, the drying thing and the washing thing. You got to get this under control. Here's another one for you. Containing your baby. Proper way to and the incorrect way to. And I think this might be the last one, but this is my favorite one. Just dads. Oh, no, this isn't it, actually. Bonding with baby moms. You lose your mind sometimes, so you need to make sure that you do this the right way. And then this one. Yeah, that's one I've got to... Yeah. Who put that one in there? Wow. Okay. All right. There you go. So are you glad? Are you informed? Should we just pray and go home now, right? So grateful to help you out today. Let's really start here with this question. Let's get real and honest today. How many parents out there, you don't have to show your hands right now, but how many parents out there today feel like you spend most of your time playing defense in your parenting style, and you are reacting to your kids' behavior all the time? Hey, you know what? Let's just, for fun, raise your hand. I play defense a lot with my kids, right? That's me. Thank you very much. I appreciate the honesty right there. Well, here's what I'd like to propose kind of in this series, and is this idea. What if we could give you some insight that could help you change the game a little bit, equip yourself to basically kind of get ahead, step ahead, and rather than you reacting to your kids, you're actually anticipating. You're anticipating what they will need to help to make your kids great in a not-so-great world, right? Would you like that? Would you like that? Because that's what we're going to kind of talk about. My dad would. He's raised a great kid. So before we really jump in and talk about that idea, I got to set some ground rules because we're kind of, you know, speaking in sports themed, and some of you ladies are going to, I've said this before, pink and blue and all that stuff. A lot of this series is going to be blue, all right? And here's why, because guys just don't get this, especially guys in cowboy jerseys. I mean, look at this. He doesn't even have a clue what team to cheer for, you know what I'm saying? So guys aren't always going to get this. So I'm trying, I'm a guy too, so I'm trying to dumb this down, this series, to really communicate effectively. So the guys, because the guys, dads, you got to be the driving force in this thing. You got to lead the way and then know your wife is right behind you in this. So And here's why we've kind of chosen blue instead of pink, because ladies, let's just face it, you can speak both languages better than guys can. So even though I'm not going to be talking a lot of pink in this series, you can translate it very easily into blue, a whole lot better than guys could translate blue into pink, all right? So that's what we're talking about. So here's a couple ground rules. Let's do this. If you're not careful in this series, you can easily check out of this series. And a lot of times we get a little feedback sometimes. They're like, this series doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even know if I'm going to come to church or whatever. No. Every time that we open up the Word of God, it makes sense to you, okay? Just want you to know. So let's start here, because there's a lot of groups of people out here today, and you could easily check out and miss some unbelievably insightful information in this series. So let me start off right here. How many of you out there are empty nesters, and you would say, it's too late, I've already screwed up my kids? Right? Come on. You don't have kids in the home. Raise your hand. Grandparents, all the grandparents, all right? And some of you don't want to raise your hand because you're like, well, my kids still live with me and their grand and my grandkids. I get that. So this is really for you. Listen, you cannot underestimate the power of grandparenting. All right, you supply an unbelievable wealth of knowledge because you have been there and you have done that. And you have the ability to take some of the principles and practices that we're going to talk about in this series, and you can invest them into your children as they're getting ready to have kids, or they have kids and they don't know what to do with their kids. As well as, listen, I'm going to dispel the myth that you get to spoil, then send home and woo, I'm done. No. You can still invest in your grandkids and raise them right next to your kids as they're raising them. So I want to let you know that some of this stuff will be kind of a refresher for you. I get that. Some of this stuff will be like, man, I wish I would have heard that, whatever. But grandparents, you still play a vital role in the family. A vital role, okay? So don't check out, all right, with this. How many of you out there would say this? I'm married, but I'm a pre-kid adult. I don't have kids. Raise your hand up high. Anybody? Yeah, awesome. So I'm married, but I don't have kids yet. So this is for you, all right? Let me ask you this question. If you were to go out tomorrow and jump out of an airplane, all right, would you want to just hop on the plane and then jump out of the plane and plummet, 25,000 feet to the earth below, with or without knowing how to operate your parachute? Yeah. Now you know this series is important for you as well, okay? It's very important for you because I'm here to tell you today, if you are married, pre-kid, and you're thinking about having kids or whatever that situation is in your life, listen, there are a lot of parents sitting in this room that are still trying to figure out how to pull the parachute. They don't know how to do it. They're trying to navigate through it as they're falling, however fast to the earth, all right? So this is for you. Now, last question for those of you that may want to check out. How many teenagers or young adults, singles that are in this room, raise your hand. Just raise your hand up high. I know there's some because I've seen. All right. Listen, how many of you teenagers would like to know your parents' tactics? Yeah, so you want to be in this series as well. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. So don't check out. This is some vital stuff, all right? Now, let me start here, okay? Here's the deal. How many of us parent today is really in direct correlation or a reaction to how our parents parented us. That is how many of us did. Let me show you what I mean. How many out there grew up in a very, very super strict home? Raise your hand. Super strict home. Okay. So all right, you can put your hands down. All right, so here's a, this is like so bad, but so you grew up, in the super strict home. So this is kind of the way, I mean, you know who I'm talking about, right? You couldn't smoke, cuss, drink, or chew, or hang around people that do. You know what I'm saying, right? Okay? So this is the way your parents parented you. Way over here. And you decided in a reaction that I'm not going to oppress my children that way. I'm not going to be that strict because all it did is teach bitterness in my life. So here's what you've done. You've decided that you're going to parent completely on the opposite side of the spectrum. You went way over on this side, and that's how you're parenting. And because there were no rules and boundaries, which we're going to talk a lot about next week, here's what happens. You fall into what's known as the friend parent. You're the friend parent, all right? So there's an idea of what we're talking about. How many of you out there grew up in a home where your parents were like, dude, I ain't raising no lazy kid. You know, they're going to work for everything that they get. Right? Raise your hand. Yeah. So that would be, you know, this side of the pendulum. This is where you were parented. And that did what? That did what to you? You're like, all they did is like, I ain't raising no lazy kid. If you want anything, you're going to have to work for it. And what did that build in you? That built resentment in you. And you were frustrated with your parents because you had to work all the time while your friends are out having fun and all that stuff. So you're like, I'm not going to raise my child that way. I'm going to raise them completely different and show them a little bit more freedom, a little bit more liberty. So you went completely on the opposite side of the spectrum in your parenting, and you've become known as the freeloader parent. The friend parent, the freeloader parent. Here's the goal, guys. The goal is to try to figure out how to do this the right way. So here's what I want to do today. I want us to do this. Just kind of forget about history just for a second, okay? For a few weeks, let's forget about that. And let's not look at parenting or how we parent through the lens of personal experience. And instead, let's ask ourselves this question in this series. Might want to write this down. I think I've got it up, but here it is. How would I parent if I was parenting for the best result in my child's life? How would I parent if I was parenting for the best result in my child's life? If I'm going to do the best that I can to prepare my child for life, that's what we're going to be asking, and we're going to attempt to answer that. So here's what I'm going to start and suggest for you today out of the gate in our series is this. This might be a stretch for some of you, and some of you are new to church, and I appreciate that, and I thank you for coming out and listening to this. But here's the thing. I'm going to suggest to you in this series and throughout this series that we look at how to parent the way that I just mentioned, you know, preparing our kids for life. We look at a closer way at how God actually parents us. That we look at that as the model. Because I believe that's the model that you and I can actually trust. Here's what I mean. Just about everywhere you would look in this book, in this Bible, where God is trying to explain how we can discover what's best for us, what he wants from us, why he may discipline us for this or for that, he suggests that we look at him through the eyes of him being our father. We are in a daughter-father relationship, a son-father relationship. And that is how he is defined in Scripture. That is what a parental relationship looks like. And if that's the case, I'm going to suggest that this book is loaded with parenting examples. Loaded with them. So here's where we're going with this idea. I would suggest that God's model for parenting is exactly what the title of our series is, Offensive Parenting. I believe that in pretty much every case, in every story, in every situation that you read about his style of parenting, it is offensive in nature. Not offensive, not get up in your grill and bother you. I mean, it's offensive. It's offensive. It's highly proactive. It simply sounds like this. I'm going to get ahead of my children. I'm going to find out what they need to know before they even need it. That's how God parents us. So instead of defensively, which many of us do, and we react to a situation, to the problem, and then we deal with it, he proactively gets ahead. So in essence, offensive parenting is basically all about this, and this is something I do believe is on the screens, okay? I'm going to prepare you more than I'm going to protect you. So offensive parenting in mind is more about preparing rather than protecting. That's what offensive parenting is. Now, out of the gate, some of you are still confused, and I get that, because here's what you need to know. Throughout this series, some of the things and the ideas that we're going to present to you are completely counterintuitive to culture and how culture would say you need to parent this way. Some of this stuff that we do suggest to you, it will be offensive to some of you. It's like, dude, I don't know about that. You know, it will possibly even offend you. And that's because some of the stuff that God demonstrates to us in offensive parenting and that style is very much the opposite of how parents are parenting in today's culture, which is the opposite of offensive. It's defensive parenting. It's defensive parenting. And here's kind of what defensive parenting looks like, okay? And I'm not pointing anybody out, because I've fallen into this category many, many a times, okay? Here's what defensive parenting looks like. I'm going to keep all of the junk and all of the crap in this world from ever touching my children. From ever touching my children. So the goal of defensive parenting is all about this. It's all about two things: safety and happiness. Safety and happiness. And defensive parenting runs every decision that it makes through this filter. Will this make my child safe, and will it make my child happy? Every decision. So here's what you really need to know about that style of parenting, defensive parenting. Ready? Those are good values. I'm not criticizing them today. I'm just suggesting that those two values in particular, they cannot be your primary focus in parenting. And if they are, here's what's going to happen. It's going to fail. It's going to fail. Let me explain that thought. I get why this style of parenting is so popular in our culture today, okay? It's because our world has gone cray-cray. Can I get an amen? All right? I think we all would agree that we're living in a pretty dark world and dark times at this point in life, okay? And the world that many of us are raising our kids in looks nothing like the world that we grew up in. And it looks nothing like the world that our parents grew up in. And it definitely doesn't look anything like their parents' world that they grew up in. Right? My generation, I grew up as a kid and as a teenager not even having a clue of what the internet was. I didn't know what that was. And now this generation lives up in a world where the internet, they can access things on the internet in the split of a second and expose them to instant evil. And rightfully so, that freaks us out and puts fear in our hearts. It really does. And I think we all agree that there are very bad people in this world. Very bad people in this world. But I can remember as a child, at the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, when we owned a family resort on Table Rock Lake, that I would run around in the woods by myself without any fear that the bad boogeyman was going to take me. It didn't mean that there weren't bad people back then, but there just didn't seem to be as many bad people. And now, we look like a bad parent if we let our kids play out in the front yard without us being out there for fear the bad man's going to take them. We'd all agree that we live in a dark world. And one of the reactions that culture tells us is this: my job as a parent is to hunker down and do whatever it takes to keep my child safe and happy. Right? And do whatever it takes. So in my own little bubble world that I've created for them. So maybe this is a great example of defensive parenting. How many of you know what this is? It's a hamster ball. It's a hamster ball. And I suggest that you don't put your hamster in this and do that. Okay, Come on. It's just cats I don't like. I like hamsters, okay? But the object of a hamster ball, right, is to put your little hamster inside that itty bitty hamster inside the hamster ball, and then, oh gosh, I just lost it, okay. And then you place him onto the ground, right, and you let him roll around to his little heart's desire. And again, don't roll him, just let him take it where he wants to go, right? All right? And the idea is he's free. He's free to roam wherever he wants, but yet he's still contained and protected from the apparent dangers should he not be inside this hamster ball. So you get it, right? It gives the illusion of freedom, yet still being contained. That's defensive parenting. That's defensive parenting. And then some of us are like, but that sounds so right. No, listen. Here's the problem. This doesn't work. It really doesn't. No matter how hard you try to protect them and keep them safe and happy in this dark world, it doesn't work. It's destined to fail. And here's why. There will always, friends, listen. There will always be a moment that you cannot stop everything from hitting your child. Here's what I mean. There will always come a day when you are no longer in the room with them. What do you mean? There's coming a day where your sweet little Susie is going to kindergarten and you can't go to class with her. There's coming a day that they're going to junior high. There's coming a day that they're going to high school. There's coming a day that they're going to college. And here's my point. As long as you keep them naive about everything that's out there, they'll never get involved with anything that's out there. Just saying defensive parenting is destined to fail. Here's another thing that I've seen the defensive style of parenting, you know, create, right? It actually, even technical terminology is called helicopter parenting. Helicopter parenting, right? A defensive style of parenting does this. It creates very highly selfish kids. Because you hover and you always protect, you're creating a culture in your child's life that when it comes to anyone authoritative in their life, they view them as there to meet their needs. It also, defensive style parenting, creates very ill-prepared kids. Because we hover and we protect and we're consumed about keeping our child safe and happy. Later on in life, when it's time to actually get out of the hamster ball, because trust me, anybody in here that's an adult, have their kids gone and they're now living back at their home, are like, dude, I didn't teach them how to get out of the hamster ball. But when it's time to get out of the hamster ball, they're unequipped to navigate through the harder and the darker moments of life when they come. Because if you have breath in your lungs, they will come. Dark and desperate moments. Here's a better idea to kind of help you visually understand mentally. Defensive parenting is the parent who, when little Cheris, I use my kid, little Cheris comes home and she's learned a new word at school. Here's what the defensive parent does. They march little Cheris straight back up to the school, inside the school principal's office, and they absolutely rip the administration for not having controlled, protective, hamster ball environment in the school. They begin to think after that there might be a better option for schooling for little Cheris. Defensive parenting always seems to take the child's side. Offensive parenting looks like this. It's when the parent of little Cheris comes home and she's learned this new word, says to themselves this, wow, I didn't know third graders talked like that. I'm pretty sure they don't even know what that word means, but I'm shocked that they talk like that, and I have a pretty good idea where they heard that. So they say this, I'd better figure out a way to better prepare little Cherish when it comes to that type of language, because it's probably not going to be the last time little Cherish hears that language. That's what we're talking about. Listen, celebrators, listen. Here's what I'm after, and here's what you need to primarily grasp when determining the difference between offensive parenting and defensive parenting. Please hear me. Ready? You cannot, friends, you cannot in any way, shape, or form stop every single storm in your child's life. You can't. Because something is always going to find its way through. And when it does, listen, it's going to be cold. It's going to be chilling. But here's what you can do as a parent. You can always teach them how to wear a coat. You can always teach them how to wear a coat. That's the major difference between defensive and offensive parenting. So that leads us to our first major idea. If you're a note taker, you want to write this down, kind of goes along with the coat theme. Ready? If we're going to look at God's way of parenting, here's the first idea. God's parenting style is not about isolation. It's about insulation. God's parenting style is not about isolation. It's about insulation. John 17. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there, okay? John 17 gives us one of the best examples regarding this first idea. It's some incredible insight at how God fathers us, his children. Jesus is praying, all right, in the garden. His time on earth is coming to an end. He knows that the next day is bringing the crucifixion, and he knows, ready for this? He knows he'll no longer be with his disciples. His personal influence will no longer be physically available to them. In the very, very coming future. They're getting ready to go to college. Okay? John 17, 15 through 18 says this. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. So in other words, Jesus starts off and says, look, God, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. All right? I'm not asking for isolation. I'm not asking for safety here. That's not my prayer. And he goes on. But that you protect them from the evil one. Now catch this. He says, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So, here's what I'm asking, Father. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I now am sending them into the world. So in other words, Jesus was implying something like this along those lines in this passage. I'm not praying for a hamster ball world. I'm not praying for that, Father, because what they're doing is actually the opposite. I'm actually sending them into the real world, into the dark culture. So here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that as they go, instead of the culture overwhelming them, that they are prepared to be stronger than the culture. I want them to be smack dab in the middle of people who are making bad and wrong decisions, and then they turn to them and watch them make good and right decisions. Amen. Listen, friends, this is probably the biggest point in this entire weekend series. So see, if you want to write this down, this is the fundamental question. The fundamental question that you have to be asking in your parenting, because how you answer it will determine everything when it comes to your parenting. Ready? Are you raising a child, or are you preparing a future adult? How you answer that question will determine completely how you parent. That is the fundamental question that you need to ask yourself as a parent today. Are you raising a child, or are you preparing a future adult? Because if you're raising a child, then it is about safety, and it is about protection, and it is about happiness. Bike helmets and ankle bracelets. That's what it's about. But if you're preparing a future adult, then it suddenly becomes about the ability to function in adverse situations. That's offensive parenting. That leads us to the second main thought. Here it is. God's parenting style is all about deep and learning. Deep and learning. In the book of James, we see a great example that supports this idea. And here's something that you probably need to go, just need to know before this point, all right? God's offensive style of parenting that you can read in the scriptures when he parents offensively with many, many of the characters. Listen, it often pushes, sometimes even throws them into the deep end of the pool. I mean, just whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just, like, you got to learn how to swim. You got to learn how to swim. Here's what I mean by that. Some of you have been a believer in Jesus, a follower of Christ for a very long time. Some of you are new to it. Some of you have yet to cross that relationship bridge, and you've yet to place a personal faith in Jesus, and you're walking on your journey, and maybe today's the day. I don't know. But here's what I've heard a lot in ministry years, in counseling people, and usually this comes in a counseling moment, but I've heard this before. When a bad, bad situation comes into a Christian's life, they think something like, God, that wasn't fair. That was not fair. God, why did you allow that to happen? God, things are out of control. How could you let them get so bad? Boy, I see a lot of that on Facebook these days from Christians. James 1, 2 through 4. Listen to this. Deep in learning. Consider it pure joy. Here's what that means. Be happy about this. Take great joy that you're in the deep end. It's a great thing to learn how to swim. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That basically means it gives you the strength to hang on longer. And then let perseverance finish its work so that you may be what? Mature. There's deep. This is how God grows us up. Mature. And don't miss this last part. Sometimes we just skip right over this. And complete. Not lacking anything. What's complete and not lacking anything mean, Josh? It means that there's nothing that you're going to face in this life that's going to catch you by surprise or overwhelm you. That's what complete, not lacking anything means. That means you are prepared for whatever God throws your way. Amen. So here's what that means in simpler terms. Because of how God parents offensively, for many of us, he's already taken the floaties off, okay? With numerous of other examples in our lives and preparations and trials in our life. And here's why. So nothing will ever take you off guard. Why? Because you've already learned how to swim in the deep end of the pool. It's how good parents parent offensively. Let me give you an illustration to help you understand this. Many of you know my not so little Caleb. Okay? 14 years old. All right? And though there are numerous things that Caleb is unable to do because he has a rare syndrome called Cornelia de Lange syndrome. For those of you that don't know, it's very similar to kind of Down syndrome. He can't talk. He can walk. Many kids with CDLS are born with malformed limbs, underdeveloped organs. So he's kind of on the higher end, but he can't talk. You know, he pretty much spends most of his time doing this, which is feed me, and then, this, which is his music and his iPad. Let me do that. That's the way he is. So of the many things that Caleb cannot do, one of the things, to our amazement, that he can do, it's crazy. He can swim. He can swim. And he can swim like an absolute fish with nobody around. However, this is crazy. However, every year without fail, and I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's just the time that's lapsed in between. Maybe it's the temperature of the pool. I don't know. But every year, he starts the same year of swimming the same way. It would appear by all perspectives, that he is petrified of the water. I mean, but this kid can do anything. I mean, he can jump in off my mom and dad's platform, which is about 4 or 5 feet in the air, dive down to the deep end of the pool and pick up rings off of the bottom, 8 to 9 feet down deep. Everything. He does it all. But every year he starts off like this fear, this petrified of what's going on. And we're like, I don't understand this. So here's what I do. Okay? I grab little Caleb by the hand. And I walk him over to the edge of the pool, and he's pulling back, you know, like this. I'm like, okay. So I kneel down. I grab his little face. I'm like, Caleb, I know, buddy, there are many things that Daddy says to you and he does to you that you just don't understand. Okay? And I just want you to know, buddy, that this is one of those times. But you're not going to understand what I'm doing. Grab his little face. Slip it down to the arm. Grab the leg. And I just shove him into the pool. Throw him into the pool. I mean, and it's just amazing. It's like a seal trying to escape a great white shark. It's nuts out there. I throw him in the pool, and for the record, for any of you that are having bad thoughts out there, I know the vibes that you're sending me right now. And I don't care, because I'm going to explain this point to you, and it's going to make perfect sense, all right? Here's what happens when I do that with Caleb. Every year, he then goes on to swim the rest of the day as if nothing traumatic ever happened to him. He goes on swimming like a fish. Now, many of you, I know you're still thinking, yeah, that's cute and all. But dude, that's horrible. How could you ever do that? And how could you do that to a special needs child? So just stop your text to you know, Department of Family Services right now. Just stop it. That is awful. Don't you know that he could have drowned? Let me say this. I don't think that's bad parenting. I think that's offensive parenting. Here's why. I know Caleb can swim. I've seen it for the last 7 years. And while he may be out there just flailing around for a couple seconds, he always, without fail, rather quickly, might I add, rediscovers his lost talent. And while that happens, listen. While that is happening, I'm right there at the edge of the pool. Should anything go wrong? And I do that every year. Because I know, listen to this. There may be a day that I'm not there. That Caleb wanders back into Nana and Papa's backyard and there's nobody there. And he gets a little too careless and he falls into the pool. And he thinks I might have to swim like my little life depended on it. And I know something that he doesn't know. He will very quickly discover once he falls in, hey, I know how to swim. Because my daddy, my mommy, my nana, my papa, they taught me how to swim. When they were still in the pool. So I can do it when they're not in the pool. That's offensive parenting, friends. When it comes to swimming, in my swimming illustration, it's prepared him for the deep end of the pool. When there might come a day that I'm not in the backyard and his life might depend on his ability to swim without me. So I'm asking you, what are the moments? What are the situations right now where you're putting your kids, you're purposely putting your kids in the deep end of the pool? What are you doing right now to teach them that you know they may fail sometimes, but it's vitally important that they fail now in your presence so they can learn what to do when they fail later on and you're not there. What are you doing right now? Listen to this. What are you doing right now that is anticipating what they need to know before that need ever arises? Third way, God's parenting style is all about exposing without overwhelming. Exposing without overwhelming. Grab your Bibles. Last time, 1 Corinthians. Let me show you one last thing at how God offensively parents us, in particular with exposing and overwhelming. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to man. So out of the gate, God is saying like this, look guys, I am the one that allows everything that comes into your life. Nothing can come into your life without my approval and my saying, yes, it can. However, in those temptations, here's what you need to know. If I've allowed it to happen, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So I'm going to allow it, but I'm going to allow it to not be overwhelming. So when you're tempted, here's what you need to know. He will always provide a way out so you can endure it. You understand what this means, right? Here's what this means. It means that the reality of parenting for us to prepare our children to be prepared adults, offensive parenting, what our whole idea is, sounds something like this. I wish it weren't the case. Oh, how I wish it wasn't the case in my own life so far in learning how to parent. I wish it wasn't the case, but in order for you to be prepared for when I'm not in the room, I'm going to have to let you see some things that you should never have to see. I'm going to have to let you be around some people I wish you never had to be around. But here's why. Here's why I do that. As you navigate what it looks like to be a 13-year-old child, those of you that are new to the teenage world, just using you, helping you out. Here's why I'm doing that. As you navigate through what it looks like to be a 13-year-old, I'm going to be there to help you through it, even though you might think like every other 13-year-old, which is, you're a genius and I'm the idiot. I get that. Fair, I get that. I'm just going to accept that, okay? Nonetheless, I'm still going to help you navigate through that time as a 13-year-old. Even though I know you know everything. You know everything. Even though I'm going to help you navigate through that time in your life as a 13-year-old, because this is going to help you swim better when you're a 21-year-old and you're faced with the greater pressure of what to do and what not to do when you're on spring break in Cancun and I'm no longer in the room. This is the most horrifying area of parenting, just so you know, especially if you are defensive minded. For you to think that your child is not going to see things, hear things, or even do things, you're not just naive, you're an idiot, just like I have been. This is the most scary area in this first week. It's going to happen. So are you going to react in the moment, shove them back down into the hamster ball, and put a lock and key on it, and never let them out again? You're going to react, or you're going to respond and realize, this really sucks that this happened. First of all, just swallow your ego and swallow your pride. You know what that is, right? Stop worrying about what people think about you. You're an imperfect person. you're a sinner. The last time I checked, we're all imperfect people, okay? And if you're a believer, you're just saved by grace, okay? So put your ego aside. I had to do that already. I'm a pastor in a community of a church of 1,000. What if people found out that Charis did that? She would never do that. So, I'm just saying, no, don't point a finger at my oldest son. Y'all are assuming right now, unless you saw something that I didn't know. Okay, listen. Just swallow your pride right now. Okay? It's about exposing, not overwhelming. It's going to happen. So you can just keep on living and parenting with your head stuck in the sand and keep screwing up your kids even more. Or you can learn how to offensively parent. And this is what offensive parenting does. It means I'm going to get out in front of them because it's going to happen again. And I'm going to be there when they fail so I can teach and train them for what's coming next, the bigger one. Remember, guys, are you raising a child or are you preparing a future adult? Let me tell you what's wrong with everything that you see in the world today. Too many people have raised children and they haven't prepared adults. That's what's wrong, right there. Offensive parenting is all about the ability to assess the difference between now and then. How often do you react rather than respond in your parenting? Do you react in the now, default to defensive parenting, which leads you to keep your children safe and happy, or do you respond with then in mind, which leads you to take a tough moment and teach and train and prepare them for what they need then before the need ever comes and it's greater and you're no longer in the room? Here's why this is so important for us to distinguish between the two. Listen, here's why it's so important. Someday, friends, someday your child is going to work for a not so very nice boss. Someday, your child will struggle with greater issues than they're facing right now. Someday, your child will fall on hard times financially. Someday, your child will find themselves in a difficult marriage. Someday, your child will go to college and discover freedom like they've never, ever experienced before. And when that someday comes, guess what, friends? You'll no longer be in the room. So what are you doing now that's preparing them for then? Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, because I've probably gotten way too boring. Lots of questions for you today. Will you parent defensively or offensively? Will you be their friend? Will you be their parent? Will you protect or will you prepare? Will you isolate? Will you insulate? Will you throw them in the deep end so they can learn how to swim? Will you expose them but not overwhelm them? Will you prepare them for what they need to know now before they need to know ever comes then? Will you raise a child or will you prepare a future adult? Friends, one day you'll no longer be in the room. So how well are you teaching them to swim right now when you're still in the room? Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do today. I'm going to pray for us. And if you're a parent out there, you're a grandparent, you're a single, or you're married pre-kids, I'm gonna challenge you to come to the altars today to hit your needs and beg God to teach you how to parent offensively as opposed to defensively, which just seems to be the default way of parenting today. Because here's a crazy thought for you today. Crazy, I know, radical. It might be a really good idea for you to invite God into your parenting. Because contrary to what you might think or believe, you haven't gotten it all figured out. Trust me. Man, I'm a pastor who counsels people all the time about hard things in life. And this parenting thing has totally derailed me on many occasions. And this teaching you has already been teaching me in the process, exposing where I am defensively parenting. So I'm going to invite you as we sing a song today in closing for you to come forward as parents, as grandparents, whoever you are, and to invite God into the conversation of your parenting. Beg him to be involved. And I'll be as blunt as saying this. If you don't, you are too proud and you think you've got it all figured out. Trust me, you don't. You need God in this conversation. So why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray. Come back next week. We're going to talk about the three roles of parenting, and the altars are going to be open for you to come forward and respond. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for doing amazing things, teaching us incredible new insights. This is not an easy series. It's not fun at all for me as a dad. Help me, God. Help other parents that are here today to hit their knees and beg God to beg you to become involved in their parenting. Please, God, move in this series. Help them invite somebody else to come in the coming weeks as well. The altars are open. All God's people said.